Well, car parks all across England are being searched for Richard's first and second. What do you know?
Live from Baltimore, Maryland to Fairbanks, Alaska, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, indie folk with Chris Porterfield, all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz, support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who refuses to call this storm Nemo or anything else, it's Michael Feldman.
Yeah. Well, they reconstructed the skull of Richard III, you know, and it turns out it's Jimmy Hoffa. Or at least he's a ringer for Hoffa. It looks exactly like. Meanwhile, people in Yorkshire are asked to call a royalty hotline before digging. Because everybody is now. You can imagine across Yorkshire, they're digging up all their car parks, whatever those are. I guess you park cars at a car park, don't you? I suppose. You know the English. Let's see now. In other news that isn't, Newt Gingrich will guest in the speaker's seat behind President Obama for the State of the Union to slump and make faces just one more time. Miss him, don't you? The State of the Union's at least there's something you could watch, you know, because it's not that exciting, really. You see Newt doing this. Yeah. All right, where was I? Yeah, State of the Union. President's State of the Union, this time will draw from the Arabian Nights. Stories from the Arabian Nights, he's doing. The theme will be a drone, sweet drone. Our foreign policy. Be it ever so humble. Oh, no, I don't know that. Shouldn't have been in there. Okay. I was just rambling here, and I wrote it in the margins, and I read it. So there you go. On and on and on with the drones already. And on. Enough with the drones already. Let's see. The Second Amendment covers automatic weapons. It certainly extends to drones, you know, so the Founding Fathers would have thought it was really cool. All right, anyway. Get the drones again. Post office changes its motto to neither snow nor rain nor heat nor Saturdays. They should leave Saturdays and cut Monday through Friday, in my opinion. Take it all in one day, you know, instead of bringing it one day at a time. What's the difference? No junk. Meanwhile, Reform Judaism is looking for a few good mail carriers who now have Shabbos off. Okay, that's for a select few. That joke goes out to the select few. Mussolini within the margin of error of victory in Italian elections. Okay, maybe not that either. Mussolini with the Shabbos joke. North Korea nukes self to prove it can. Well, they fired it straight up and it came straight down. You know, what? You know, it's going to happen. It turns out a lot of what we think of as French horse meat is actually Polish. That's a big shock to a lot of people. Okay, horse meat lasagna is not appealing, but, you know. What do you expect when you buy Flicka Italian entrees? Thank you, John. The Vatican is okay with the 20 hours of TV before sex method. Come back next week and see if you can understand that and let me know. None of this weather happened before the Weather Channel started naming these storms. You know, that's the thing that bothers me about these winter storm names. Did they really mean Nemo? Was that what they meant to name it, Nemo? Did they confuse it with, like, one of the gods or something? You know, the Norse gods or somebody? It's a Disney fish who talks like Albert Brooks. Come on, this is a winter storm. And now they expect us to prepare for Orko. You know, Orko is next? I'm serious. Orko. Who's Orko? I'll tell you who he is. He's the Basque thunder god, which is cool. There's a little more to the point, maybe. But still. And you know what next? Winter Storm Plato. Kid you not. Winter Storm Plato. A platonic weather event. What is that? Hate it. Nemo is not what we're calling it around here, I'll tell you, not even close. You name puppies, you don't name this kind of stuff. It's ridiculous. Anyhow, the Weather Channel is forbidden to use Winter Storm Feldman. I'm saying that right now. In other news, 25 billion iTunes have sold, but a good billion of them are actually happy birthday and other special occasion things like Hava Nagila is a billionaire, Hawaiian wedding song, chicken dance. 5 or 6 billion right there. So it's not as impressive as it looks. The Brewers, Ryan Braun, his name was on a clinic list in Miami. You probably saw that. But hey, Jewish man, even a young one, going in for a consult at a Miami anti-aging clinic. Totally conceivable. It's a no-brainer. And if they serve you sesame bagels while you wait, voila. All right, needlessly complicated joke. Chris Christie laughs about his weight on Letterman because, well, you know, fat people. What I like about Christie is he's not morbid about it. He's not morbidly obese. He's happily obese, not morbid in the least. So that's cool. The Monopoly people left to pry the tiny little iron out of my cold, dead mortgage to the hilt hand. Not giving up the little iron. Did you hear about that? They want to take the little iron out.
What are they going to replace it with?
A cat. Oh, that's so disgusting. That's so wrong. Okay. Oh, you can now take your guns to church in Arkansas, but please, no bullets on the collection plate. Obviously, background checks don't work if Wayne LaPierre can pass one. Be a sad, we're almost through this, be a sad Valentine's Day for Manti Te'o. Without all the e-cards. I said last week was the last joke. This is that's the last one. The Shahs of Sunset are being groomed to return to power in Iran. Thank you, sir. Somebody has seen it. I have to watch it in my house. It's on all the time. And one of the many groups of people, disgusting individuals that share my living room like every hour of the evening. Various backgrounds. Anyway, the Boy Scouts will hold a May Gay Jamboree this year. May Gay, they're calling it. What is this here? Oh, Congress is looking at random spending cuts instead of automatic ones. You get a logarithm and just, you know, there's a logarithm for it, randomly. You know what I mean? That's my imitation of a logarithm. Pretty good, huh? Visually, because you can't see it at home, but it was excellent. To sequester or not to sequester, that's the sequestion. Huh? I'll put that against any political humor anywhere. That one right there. President Obama has been shooting skeet in case they let him into the club. Did it. CBS, what does it say? CBS, I'm crying because I can't. Yes, the CBS Grammy dress code restrictions on butt cracks all but kill it for singing plumbers. Republicans toy with electable candidates. Well, that's old news. The late Fidel Castro says Hugo Chavez has never looked better. And finally, our common ancestor turns out to be a rat with a furry tail. On her side, maybe. That's all the news that is. Thank you so much and good night. And good night to all the ships and sailors. And those in dry dock. All right. Whoa, Chris Porterfield is here. Is he here? Where is he? There he is. That's Chris Porterfield, ladies and gentlemen, of Field Report, one of the rising young stars in American music. That's right. He's taking the scenic route to the stage and to stardom, it says here. Formerly Conrad Plymouth, is that right?
That's true.
Did you drop that Conrad Plymouth name?
I did.
Yeah.
I killed him off.
Yeah. Was there a song about it?
There was.
Yeah?
There was.
What was the Conrad Plymouth death song?
It's called The Last Time I Saw Conrad Plymouth.
You could be putting me on. I never know. I'd have to look in it. Yeah, yeah. Now, you were with those all these Bon Iver guys, right?
Yeah.
Is that true?
I played with those guys.
Yeah. What does that even mean, Bon Iver? It means good Iver.
Good Iver. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what is an Iver? Did they tell you that?
I think Iver is... I'm not a French speaker myself.
No.
But I've been told it has something to do with winter.
Good winter?
Good winter, yeah.
Well, this guy's from Wisconsin, and he's talking about a good winter?
I think he got it from Northern Exposure.
Oh, is it? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Northern Exposure with the moose walking around town, that
yeah.
one? Oh, okay. Okay. All right. And then your new band, you're getting a lot of good reviews. Field Report is like tearing up the charts now, and Rolling Stone thinks you're the next big thing. And is it all going to your head then?
No, not at all.
Where's it going?
Nowhere fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we had a really good year last year, and we're about to have a busy year this year. But I'll tell you what, last year we had the chance to play a lot of great places. One of them was Red Rocks in Colorado.
Yeah,
I got
great.
An email from a buddy when I announced that I was doing your show.
Yeah.
And he said that he was more excited about this than that.
Yes.
This is holy ground.
Unlike Red Rocks, there's a lot of holes in the ground out there too, actually. Quite a few holes out there. And this is kind of what would you call the style of music? Not with the Bone guys, the Bon Iver guys.
Sure.
And your things. It's kind of like an alt Northwoods. Alt Northwoods.
Yeah.
Depressed guys in the Northwoods,
yeah,
alt country.
Yeah, a lot kinda. Of mopey, beardy.
Yeah, a lot of angst and depression. And is it because of the winters? I mean, why is it a good winter?
Why
then?
Is it good if it causes this? Yeah, man, I don't know.
It's a whole school, isn't it?
What's it?
It's a school, really.
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, I think there's sort of a Midwestern sound that's starting to happen.
Yeah.
And I think we're a part of that, kind of. I'm not sure what it is.
But you're from Minnesota, though, aren't you?
I was born and raised in Minnesota.
Because how would you explain Fergus Falls, anyhow?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you from Fergus Falls?
No, I'm not. I'm from southeastern Minnesota.
Did you have an incident in Fergus Falls?
We had a family cabin that we would go through Fergus to get to. But I mostly settled on that for the alliterative properties.
It is a lovely name, Fergus Falls, if you think of it. I don't think it's been used before in music.
It's funny, when that song came out, I got a lot of emails from people from Fergus thanking me for sort of
all,
putting
all
them
17,
on the
probably.
Yeah, right.
What are you going to play for us?
I think I'm going to play a song for you off the record called I'm Not Waiting Anymore.
That's great. Chris Porterfield.
God's favorite child been bloodied from the brawl, and this bitterness was killing me all day long. I am not waiting anymore. I am not waiting anymore. I've been blowing through time like nickel slots in a windowless room on a credit card, flashing like a semaphore or a vague drafty metaphor. I am not waiting anymore. I've been a keen-eyed observer of the movements of concentric parts. Of the bodies of bones and breasts and unmapped chambers of heart. Now the sand in hand's been turned to glass, like a Jeroboam filled with a life that's fast. You can toss it off the balcony and listen for the crash. I am now waiting. I spent 8 long years working on my screenplay. It's a teen movie with young actresses that plays to the middle age. I've read between the lines. I have been wrong every time, and it burned up on the altar, but I am fine. I am not waiting anymore. I am not waiting.
Wow, was that a good song? That was a good song.
Thank you.
That was a great song. That's like a classic song right there. You could quit now. You wanted to quit by 27. How old are you?
I just turned 32.
Oh my God, you're overdue. Because didn't you say one thing? You wanted to quit by the time you were 27, I read.
Yeah. Yeah,
whatever happened to that?
I just kept kind of pushing it off.
That's like retirement for me. Exactly. It's not, the numbers are slightly different, but well, that's a terrific song. It almost sounds like the early Bob Zimmerman out there in Minnesota. You know, when he's actually just trying to play music, you know, and create some of that sort of stuff. Except I think he stole most of his stuff, and that's.
I'm sure I stole that. Well, it's all about reappropriation.
Yeah, yeah. So you got any happy songs though?
You know, I've tried. That one might be as close as I've ever got.
But I mean, you're not clinically depressed or anything, right?
This is for.
Yeah.
This is therapy.
Yeah.
You and me talking right now.
Yeah,
you're
but I mean, if we were out having a beer or something like that, you're not a bad drunk or anything. You'd be a happy guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But the music comes from some other place.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, it's not always me narrating these songs.
Of course.
There's a lot of different characters. I think a lot of sort of songwriters, it's easy to pigeonhole somebody as playing a certain role, but it's, you know, it's like actors, you know, they take on different people and different voices.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of different characters talking on that record.
Yeah. And actors get very tired of being asked about the characters
that
they play.
Yeah.
So I apologize and I retract everything I just said. What's you got another one here? You got
sure. I'm going to do a brand new one, I think.
Cool.
We'll try that.
So it's snowing in the river west again, like the night we were in the accident, in my brother's truck with the taxi cab guy got out and the next car hit. Spun around and knocked him down. And on the street we all gathered around. We thought he broke his neck, but he just bit through his lip. It was a matter of degree. A matter pencil diving in the shallows, doing pull-ups on the gallows, flailing through the fallows, spilling all your seed. Got a fresh start in the Cephas house where Capone and his boys tunnel out. Now the spidered hallways are all sealed up. What a strange way to be free. It's just a matter of degree. Matter of degree. Matter of degree. Father Brasky saw the light tear the sky and clip his steeple. He was drinking hard that night, but he saw what he had seen. It was something from another world. Something felt unholy, like something from his childhood. We all need something to believe. It's just a matter of degree. Matter of
Field Report. And of Chris Porterfield.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International.
Right.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, thank you. Yeah, just throw it. I knew you weren't going to do it, and still it scared me. Jeff, we'll get back to you.
Okay.
How's everybody? Pretty good? Pretty good then? Okay. Well, you know, I didn't have enough time to go through the cards, so I'm just going to do them as they occur. We'll let the cards fall where they may.
Oh, boy.
All right? Okay. So then we start with James Lenicky. How close is that?
Okay.
Pretty close. How would you say it?
Well.
Okay. Well, there's more to this story than meets the eye. You can tell by that well. It means that there's...
I don't hear that well.
You don't hear that well no more?
No.
Okay, I don't talk that well no more, so... What?
Okay. Jim's mother would pronounce it Uhlenhack, and Jim's dad would say Uhlenhack. So even within the family, they couldn't decide.
Some say what the heck, probably, when they're gone, right? You get a lot?
That's all I say is you.
Yeah, okay. How are you?
Just fine.
How's the life out there in Salem?
Very well now that I'm retired.
Yeah. And you retired from?
Agricultural service technician. I worked on the big tractors and combines.
Big tractors and combines, not while they were running, I hope.
Occasionally, yes, but I still got all my fingers.
That's good. Yes, it's in the year.
He worked at the dealership 47 years.
47 years?
Yes. Yeah. For the same company, for a John Deere dealer in Salem.
Yeah. You say nothing runs like a deer, but you're why, huh?
I keep making them run.
Yeah, that's very cool. And your question is for me is what?
Do you work on your own equipment that you use on your lawn?
Lawn equipment?
Lawn equipment, such as...
What's included in lawn equipment? What?
Rotor tiller, lawn mower, leaf blower, you name it, whatever.
Rotor tiller?
Well, my lawn equipment.
You got a rotor tiller?
I keep meaning to get around to having lawn equipment, but I really don't have much of a lawn. It doesn't seem worth the investment in a, you know...
Yes, it is an investment nowadays.
I'm not going to disc it or anything, and I'm not going to... plow it, and I'm not gonna hoe it or whatever else you do, roto hoe it.
Well, with the snow, you have to remove that, don't you?
No, it melts.
Not always.
I thought you're from around here. You know, it, melts eventually.
It does melt if you wait long enough.
Yeah, okay. Okay. And so, I mean, do you own a John Deere now? I mean, do you sit at home and just work on your own?
Yes, I do work on my own.
Yeah.
And occasionally some of the other ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Even the other color some days.
Yeah.
You know, the red ones or the yellow ones or...
Thank you very much. Okay. You know, for all his years of service, what do we have for James?
How about 9 Hallmarks of Highly Incompetent Losers by Pat Reeder, with a foreword of Mike Huckabee from Comedy Wire Publishing.
No, you don't
like that one.
No,
okay.
Give him some booze.
Booze. Okay.
You could use a bottle of something.
Perfect.
47 years.
How about 2 bottles, Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumé, masterful wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
Yeah, occasional taste of wine.
What?
Occasional taste of wine.
Oh, yes. We indulge, yes.
Okay, good. That'll work out good. Nice. Pleasure. All right. Chuck Sable comes up next in the pack here. He's from Oconomowoc. He works for, is it Kalmbach?
Yes.
Publishing in Waukesha. They mail hobby publications all over the world.
Yes, they do.
Is that correct, Chuck? Did I say anything wrong there? You can correct me now. Let's go into this because I can go right from tractors to hobby publishing. I am so diverse. I just amaze myself sometimes. And I know something about everything I'm talking about. So can I get you to stand up here, Chuck, and
sure.
if you wouldn't mind, how are you?
Good.
Yeah. Are you still doing this, Kalmbach Publishing?
Yes.
What are some of the titles we have that are going out?
Model Railroader, Trains, Bead Style, Bead and Button. Our biggest publication is Discover Magazine, has about 700,000 subscribers.
Whoa. What was the Bead and Button one, was it?
They have a show in Milwaukee in June that teaches people how to make jewelry. And probably
the Bead and Button?
Bead and Button.
Oh, Bead and Button.
Bead and Button, yes.
Okay.
And
Bead and Button.
Yeah, our second biggest publication is Model Railroader Magazine that has a subscriber base of about 140,000, and our most famous subscriber is Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart subscribes to Model Railroading.
Yes, he has a layout in the third floor mansion of his house in Hollywood that is 24 feet wide and 135 feet long, and when he goes out on the road in gigs, he sets up in a hotel and makes buildings for his train set when he's not gigging.
Well, where else, but what do you know? And with Chuck Sable in the audience. Holy cow. Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you.
Chuck Sable. How do you like that? Do you actually have a hobby yourself?
Yes, I play with trains, too.
Oh, you're a train guy. Okay, okay. I figured, I took you for one. What?
We need to know the answer to the question.
What question?
Where did you get the donuts?
Where did I get the donuts? Now, there's a fascinating topic for national... release. What?
No, I didn't. I'm with her.
Okay, all right. We'll talk about it some other time. I want to end on his Rod Stewart. Sorry. Where do I get the donuts? What? Where? Where do you get the donuts? And do you have any hobbies? Okay. I don't know where the donuts come from. They just appear here each week, and somebody cuts them in half and gets fingerprints all over the chocolate ones. But I eat them anyway. And no, I have no hobby. I got to get a hobby, though, pretty soon, with retirement looming, you know, sometime in the future. It's got to happen. I'm thinking of Civil War miniatures. Do you have that magazine?
No, but we could probably refer you to somebody that does.
Okay. All right. Okay. Because it seems like the dumbest hobby you could possibly have. Painting Civil War miniatures. Like they wouldn't be painted already by now, you know. Who your set decorator creates? Who creates your set decorator? Oh, that's Emily.
I know.
Huh? Oh, that's Emily. Okay, we already got you guys. I'm going to do that again. Our set is just everything we've collected over the years that no one has actually taken back. And so that's the map, of course, the applause sign. Sarah's new. And the emu. I don't know where that came from. We got the little Janesville wagon.
No one would take me back.
No. John got that piano. That's just rented, though. And the Naugahyde chairs, that came from a thing I did one time on TV. I wanted to look like I was at a restaurant, so I made them buy these Naugahyde. They're kind of like, from a...
From a diner.
From a diner, or, you know, whatever. Okay. But there you have it. Meanwhile, Connie Girard, soft G. Connie Girard. Oh, how was a soft G in Girard? A domestic engineer, volunteer for Flint Creek Wildlife Rehab all around, Jill of all trades, master of none. Page two. Where do you buy your donuts? What is it? So disappointing. Is that all you want to know from me? Where I buy my donuts? I don't buy them, number one. They just sort of here.
The donut barn.
Where is Soft G? Connie Soft G Girard. Okay, here, I'll just come down here and I'll get you from this aisle. Because that's, I know every trick in the book here. How are you doing? Pretty good? Oh, that's good. Thanks. Good. Hey, come on, Connie Soft G. How do you say Girard with a soft G?
Girard is like giraffe. That's what I tell people, so they know not to go Girard.
Well, who says Girard?
People do on the phone all the time.
They do?
Yes.
Well, they call me Seldom. Michael, I say, what's your name? Michael Feldman. They say Seldon? Or Seldom? Yeah, I know. Yeah, Seldom. It's true, but it's right. Feldman is the name. And did you have a question? Because I didn't get to it.
It was the donuts. Oh. I didn't even eat one, but I was just salivating. Yeah. I'm like a baked goods addict.
So you're in wildlife rehabilitation.
I volunteer for, Flint Creek Wildlife Rehabilitation. Yeah. And
what do you do for the animals?
We do rescue and recovery during migration downtown Chicago. I'm from Chicago. And we go out early in the morning, the wee hours, you know, like when the migratory birds come through in the spring and the fall, and we rescue and recover and help them with their travels further north or further south, whatever they're doing.
Any birds, any rodents, or is it all birds? Or
I see some rodents when I am walking around at night in the dark with my flashlight. And they're more, you know, common, I see, you know, but they don't come at me, you know, I don't care. No.
That's a nice attitude. They don't come at you, so you don't care.
That's for you.
Oh, you got me a little card here.
A little
Valentine. Ooh, thank you. It's Holy Valentine. Thank you. Oh. Thank you, Connie. Connie Girard. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I got a Valentine.
Okay. That's good. That ends my dry streak several decades now. Without a Valentine, we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. And going through education all those years, does it pay off? Yeah. Now, the What Do You Know quiz, it will pay off for someone, but first we've got to know who can and cannot. Oh, yes, you're up. Yes, participate in the quiz. We have...
Kay Guberud.
Kay, and you from around here, Kay?
Yes, Janesville.
From Janesville. So I'll give you this microphone. Get out of your way.
Thank you. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, is just me, or are all these asteroids getting closer? Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Nice job. Oh, you can keep that.
Thank you.
You had nuance. Nuance. A lot of them don't have nuance. You had nuance. I love it when they have nuance. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz that you've heard so much about now. And okay, it's certainly not as popular as you would expect it would be with all the... All right, this gentleman here kind of reluctantly raised an arm. She might have shoved it up for you there.
I had a little help.
Yeah. A little elbow push there, I saw. And you are?
I'm David Hall.
H-A-L. Use the David, that's okay.
That's fine.
For tax purposes, just the David.
That's right.
And are you from around here, David, or?
Exotic Poinette, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, Poinette. That's how could I forget so soon? And David, you got to give me one good reason that you should play this quiz.
My 15 minutes of fame clock is on 1459, and I want to go out with a bang.
That's it. Okay, you only get 1 second airtime, though. Come on up here, David. Do it. Have a seat right there. I'm the dog guide. It's kind of Howard Johnson, this dog guide, is what it?
It's lovely.
Yeah. It's a little worn there, but the duct tape is holding up good on it. That's the main thing about these things. So what the line or field or occupation might you be in, David?
Rural mail carrier.
Are you? Let's hear it for the rural mail carriers.
It's a Saturday.
Our single biggest core of listeners is the rural
mail
carriers. So I want to thank you and all the guys and all the gals and out there delivering that mail in your own vehicles, right?
Yes, sir.
That's the thing that gets me, though. Can't they at least spring for a little truck for you? Or?
Depends on your route, and I'm not the lucky one to get one of those.
No. So
I got to learn how to change brakes.
Yeah. Well, I got a guy here who does tractors. You can do anything you want on one of those things. But they give you mileage and stuff, don't they?
Some
mileage? They don't pay your gas?
We guess.
They pay your gas? And
no.
They don't pay your gas?
They don't pay your gas.
You mean they're out there, and you're getting stuck, and you're going off the road in the bad weather? And you're
They don't pay your towing bill either.
Wow.
But I'm getting Saturdays off pretty
soon.
Yeah,
what do you think? What do you think about that?
It's really going to affect a lot of the sub carriers. But
a sub carrier is
a lesser carrier. I shouldn't have said that. Who takes over when we're not there?
I see. The guys who fill in and stuff.
Right.
Okay. But for you, it's okay. What would you do with a weekend if you had one? Well, this is Saturday.
Going to find out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying it out today.
Are you working
and see
today?
How it goes.
Did you just stop in here while you're...
Yeah, I just happened to be driving by.
That's cool. So now, where is your rural route?
Arlington, Wisconsin.
Arlington, okay. So about this time of the day, morning, in Arlington, where would you be?
Probably loading my vehicle.
Just loading the vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, okay. So you feel kind of odd that you're not loading your vehicle?
Feels kind of good.
David, great to have you here. Someone out there will play along with you. I don't have a screen here. That's going to be somewhat of a problem to find out if we actually do have people calling in. But I am a psychic. I've been watching the Long Island Psychic, and it's really starting to sink in on me. And so that'll be good. But how does someone get on, Sarah, to play along with David?
If people want to play the quiz, they pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
This is supposed to be what's on the screen here. It's line 1, 2, 3, 4, and where they're from and everything. But this is subject to change, isn't it? Are you going to keep running up here with these? We need a mail carrier here, basically. So we need. All right.
I don't see a stamp on that thing.
Well, that's true. Oh, I think I had one. One thing, though, now, I have the same carrier, for years now, same guy. He's not very talkative, this one. Last guy was a little more talkative. He still gets the gloves at Christmas. I get a pair of gloves at Christmas.
That's nice.
From the Feldmans. Very nice. It's my wife does that. I wouldn't have thought of it myself. Anyhow, but I'm saying, all right, so a package comes, a UPS package, right? And they leave you the note saying, your package came, you weren't here, but you can sign for it. Now, how long does this guy have to know me to know that I want you to just leave the package? I would sign an affidavit or something, leave it on the door if he wants, saying that but you can't do it, right? Because
you said UPS, that's not the same.
No, not UPS. I mean the Postal Service.
Some has to have a signature, so you can't just leave it.
Yeah, but you can sign that saying leave it.
Yeah, that's not exactly right anymore.
Oh, okay. That's why I brought it up then, because he does that.
The rules have changed.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I forget I said anything.
No problem.
Okay. Some out there, well, here's the question. I got it right here. Okay. Bob Barker, the United Methodist Church, and the Kansas City Chiefs, among others, are on somebody's hate list. And we want to know who that might be. Give us a call here. What is that number again?
The number is 1-800-942-5669.
Enemies list, I guess, is technically what it is. Bob Barker, United Methodist Church, Kansas City Chiefs, Danny DeVito, I know he's on there, too, on somebody's list. Let's go to, let's see, what does it say on this page? This form is not proper. I cannot use it. Let's go to this one here that's blinking. Hi, who's this?
This is Kelly Hollowell.
Kelly?
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
I'm just dandy today. How are you?
Good. Where are you, Kelly?
I'm in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
Oh, how nice for you.
It's, boy, there's nice here today.
Is it? So
it is.
You didn't get that big storm that came through, that so-called Nemo, huh? Didn't come through
no,
that?
No. I heard about that. It sounded a lot like a fish.
I thought so, too. All right, Kelly, Bob Barker, United Methodist Church, Kansas City Chiefs, and Danny DeVito, among others, are on somebody's enemies list. Do you know who that would be?
I do not.
Okay.
I'm thinking, though.
Okay, you can think.
I'm thinking Hillary Clinton.
Okay, Kelly, back to whatever you were doing. Well, nice talking to you, though.
Thanks for having me.
All right, bye. Is this Lori?
It is Lori.
From Columbus?
From Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, I got it right here. You filled in your form properly, so I got you right there. Columbus, Ohio, yeah. And did you get the weather there in Columbus, Lori?
We did not. It's beautiful. It's sunny. It's a nice day here.
It is. So you didn't, no storm, no Nemo?
No storm, no. Although my sister is in Nantucket, and so I've been getting updates from her.
Oh, I bet.
She's getting socked.
Yeah, so it must have hooked around there before it got, maybe hooked around Indiana.
It went north of us,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
So we're all good.
Okay, well, that's good. Lori, did you hear the question?
I did hear the question.
Yeah.
Where did I put that? I have a guess. I do not know for sure, but I'm going to guess the NRA.
You're right, Lori. You nailed that one. Yes, they're on the enemies list.
Okay.
And Bob Barker sleeps with a .38 under his pillow. You know, it's really unfair, but he just didn't want him to use live pigeons in skeet shooting. Thought that was going a little far. You know, they fire them up like skeet, and they shoot.
Oh, Bob Barker.
I don't know, Bob Barker. That's with him. Lori, this is David. He's your partner here in crime.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, David.
The two work as a team, okay?
Okay.
And we have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do. And they are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Lori, you pick the first one. What would you like?
How about things you learned in school?
Things you should have learned in
school.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. What is vague booking?
What is vague booking?
Vague booking. It's a type of Facebooking. It's called vague booking. I guess if you were in school, you'd probably know this.
I should know this.
Yeah.
David?
Vague booking.
What kind of school are we talking about here?
That's about every school anywhere, I guess. Now they're vague all on booking. Facebook, you know. But there's a practice. It has something to do with your status. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, so you're not vague putting booking. Not putting on that you're in a relationship or something like that? That'd be vague, I guess.
Or your updates.
No,
whatever that's called.
I don't think it's that. Something where you're just not saying anything. Like where you're saying,
you mean you're being vague? You're being vague?
Well, exactly. Kind of like I am right now.
Can we accept that, John?
Yeah, I think we can accept that, sure.
Oh, John says we can accept that. Vague booking, yes. You're not... I guess... I think it's a tactic. I'm not sure. Anyone do you know, your status updates are so vague, friends have to ask for more details. So it encourages people to...
You have to be careful. You don't want people to know when you're out of town or...
What? Come on, you Facebook, right?
I do.
I know
Facebook,
you do.
But I'm not the person looking... who says, "Oh, I'm in Florida right now. Please go rob my house."
Yeah, that's a little too much information. Okay, so that would be
one right and no wrong.
Okay, good. That's a good start. What's left there,
Sarah? Current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
David.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Okay. So are you Wisconsin born and bred, David?
Sure am.
Where'd you grow up?
Poinet, Wisconsin.
Did you ever get out of Poinet at all, or you just pretty much drive
around? I moved to Portage for like 6 months, and then came back home.
Didn't like it? Didn't care for Portage?
No, it's just too far north. Yeah.
It's no Poinet, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
Yeah. It does end with a French ending, though. Age and et.
Yes, it does.
If you think about it. A percentage of pets who will get a Valentine this year.
Percentage of pets who will get a Valentine.
Yeah, people who say their pets will receive a Valentine this year. Is it 45%, 57%, or 75% of pets who will receive some sort of Valentine, even if it's sloppy kisses? Don't kiss a puggle is my advice to you, because you don't know where they've been.
I don't know, David, 57?
They all seem too high to me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you want to take, the lowest one?
I would think the lowest, yeah.
Maybe the lowest. 45%
seems enough, right?
Seems way more than enough.
Okay, yeah, that's good. You got it. 45%. And a nice deer antler chew or... But no homemade treats. Pets hate them. You know, so I make a treat for you. They hate them. Hate homemade
Some
treats.
Of them get mail, though.
Yeah, do they?
Yeah.
You've delivered Valentine's?
I don't know Valentine's, but letters to dogs.
And do you deliver them in good conscience?
Sure.
You have to.
Yeah, I have to. If it's addressed correctly.
Who on your route? Who on your route?
Yeah, we can't talk about that.
Right, a dog's now. Name, who's going to know? Fluffy? Does Fluffy get mail?
How'd you know that's who?
Fluffy out there in Arlington?
That's two right and zero wrong.
Okay. Well, who's Fluffy getting mail from, I'm wondering?
National Cat Lovers.
Okay.
The remaining categories
are...
Yeah,
it was two, right? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Two right, zero
what's
wrong.
What's left there, sir?
Categories left, current events, people, places, or science.
Okay.
How about people?
People, okay, that's fine with me. Among the dateable females, dateable class of females, the first thing they look for or at in the male, they're meeting a male, they're a dateable, young, mating female. Ouch! Oh, that hurt. Oh, that exploded in my head. The first thing they look for or at in the male, is it A, their car, B, their teeth, or C, their behind?
Ooh.
First thing, let's say prime importance, maybe not the first thing.
Car, teeth, or rear end?
Yes, thank you very much for that.
Sorry. If it were me, I would say car.
Okay.
I am no longer a young, dateable female, though.
Not a dateable, mateable, huh? Okay.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm leaning towards teeth, I believe. I mean, we're not teeth. In England, so.
Good point.
That was my second instinct, David, so that's...
He says teeth. Teeth. You want to go with that?
I'm okay with that.
Teeth it is. Teeth. 71% say teeth. A guy's teeth are very important. And then get this, 55% say his grammar is important.
Excellent.
How about that?
I like that.
And 51% say hair, so. They're young. They think hair is still important, you know. So they've won, haven't they?
But they have, but they could go on
Wait a
and...
Celebrate. Let's celebrate. Do your dance.
Okay.
They could, however, lay it all on the line, answer two more questions, and see if they could win the mother load.
They could. So you want to go on? We're just doing the one question thing yet. You know, we've shifted to the one fur.
Okay.
Because it's a lot more dramatic.
All right, great. Well, they could answer one more question. If they get it right, they could win almost double the prizes.
Double the prizes.
Double
but
the
if
prizes.
They get it wrong, would they lose everything?
They would, in fact, lose everything.
Okay, there you have it. What do you think, David? Lori?
Lori?
David? I'm here. I'm thinking. It's so much pressure. I'm okay with going on, David.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, they're going on. Got to get this one right. It's for all the marbles. All the marbles.
The categories remaining are current events, places, or science.
Okay. David?
David, your call.
What would you like?
Places.
Places? All right, Russian soldiers can finally stop wearing their porta-Yankees.
Porta-Yankees.
They've been wearing them for a long time, probably since the Tsar, I would think.
Porta-Yankee. Russian soldiers, porta-Yankee.
Which, of course, are one of the following. Are they sheepskin helmet liners, cloth foot wraps, or women's panties. That's just the Tsar said to wear them, they wore them. You know, that's the way it was in Imperial Russia. I'm saying if that were the case.
Current events.
All right, we're trying to.
No, it might not be any better.
Then I can't use this question again. No, it's such a good one.
Oh.
Party Yankees. They just saw, they said the Russian troops no longer have to wear their Party Yankees, which are Yankees, I suppose. Sheepskin helmet liners, cloth foot wraps, or women's panties.
Well, I think we can eliminate the third one. Or maybe not.
Well, it was Peter the Great who first said you got to wear them, so you never know. You know, Peter.
I'm leaning towards the sheepskin helmet. Whatever.
Are you? What are you leaning towards, David?
I'm leaning towards the audience groaning at that answer.
Yeah. Oh, well. See, thank you. I need
which
that.
Would leave what?
That would leave the
cloth
foot wraps? Foot wraps, I believe.
Instead of socks, you think Russian troops have been wearing cloth foot wraps all these years, huh?
If they were told to do that, I'm sure.
Well, Peter says wear cloth foot wraps. That's just what you do. Peter the Great, you don't mess with Peter the Great.
Yeah, he wasn't Peter the Average.
Maybe.
No, Peter the Average, you could get away with socks.
But did the women's panties make him great?
We don't know that side of the story. What's it going to be? Need an answer for everything now. Is it sheepskin helmet liners, cloth foot wraps, or women's panties for Russian soldiers? No longer required.
David, what's the audience giving you?
They're giving me foot wraps.
All right. I'm good with that.
That's it. Cloth foot wraps. They're Party Yankees. You don't need them. Holy cow.
David, while waiting in your ice shanty for the fish to bite, you can pass the time playing a miniaturized version of cribbage. Its handcrafted hardwood case has a trapdoor revealing the deck of cards and playing pins from the
nice.
Duluth Trading Company.
Nice.
And then read Rhoda Jansen's Does This Church Make Me Look Fat? A Mennonite Finds Faith, Meets Mr. Right, and Solves Her Lady Problems from Grand Central Publishing. Continue with Fat is the New 30 by Sweet Potato Queen Jill Connor Brown from Amazon Publishing. And discover 586 Pounds of Feminine Charm, the story of Ella Mills, the last fat Lady of the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus by Pat Gran from Behringer Publishing. Lori, you'll start your day with the richly satisfying breakfast blend and continue that Java vibe with Costa Rican Terrazzo, precision roasted in Madison by Stephen Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. Then combine music and eating with Sharon O'Connor's Cooking
awesome.
With the Blues, new American comfort food recipes and all-American blues featuring the music of the Danny Caron Band with Charles Brown from Music Cooks. Quaff your favorite brew from a fine-looking mug from Michigan Public Television and acquire book learning painlessly with What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Okay. Congratulations to you both.
Great. Nice work, David.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you for all you do. Lori, hang on. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
All right, then. Oh, you can go now. Better load up your car out there. What are you driving these days, David?
Multicolored Chevy Blazer.
From all the fenders you replaced on it, you mean?
That's right.
Yeah, Chevy Blazer. Those Blazers, though, they're good, huh? They made them good. Ladies and gentlemen, John Tooling, Jeff Hammond on the bass.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tooling on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's chef and TV host Eddie Wong. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who says, with all the dress restrictions, it's more like the grannies than the Grammys, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Oh, that woke me up. Say, How are you? Pretty good then? Yeah. You Facebook, don't you? Now, why were you giving me no reaction from you at all? The important Facebooking question? You just don't vague book. Never vague book? Always explicit in your status?
I told them I was at the show.
Told them that you were at the show. Did you say which show? You didn't,
vague
see?
Book,
there you
vague
go.
Book.
You're vaguing again. Well, you know, each week at this time, we read actual memos sent by actual listeners and other things as well. Not the listener part, I mean the documents they sent. Here's a question, for example, from Linda Disher, somewhere out there. She's from Somerville, South Carolina. Listening to your wonderful conversation this morning with the writer, Mr. Englander, you made a reference to a book read in college Jewish studies. I studied Jewish studies. That's how I got to be Jewish, actually. I was a Congregationalist going into it. Went to the University of Wisconsin, took Jewish studies. All this. Got all this. That changed your life, but I misnamed it. Please let me know what it is. Loved your show, but especially enjoyed this conversation. Well, thank you very much. I was just referring to anything by Saul Bellow, of course, is kind of the king of the Jewish writer, American Jewish writers. Bernard Malamud is another one. Some great books. Love them because they're like really working class, first generation Americans. You know, Saul Bellow is Chicago orientation mostly. And Malamud was New York, but and Singer, of course, Isaac Singer. So any of those guys will work. And you could be Jewish, too, with a little study. Hi, Michael. I thought if you weren't doing anything, you could pack up the gang and head out to Walpole, New Hampshire to say hello to my mother. I'm a terrible son that never calls to say hello. I moved out here to Wisconsin many years ago and rarely get back to visit. So we're supposed to go back and visit for me. I have a small farm in Pleasant Springs, Wisconsin. I know Pleasant Springs. That keeps me too busy to get back to Walpole. Walpole is full of history and the home of Ken Burns. Just let me know if you need directions. Thanks, Ken Miller. I don't even know how to respond to that, Ken, but it's, you know, if you have the directions, why don't you use them and go out there and see everybody? That's what I'm thinking. Comment on grammar. Oh, yeah, grammar. Grammar is not my biggest thing. And sometimes I'm just trying to use the vernacular. It sounds like an error to you, but I'm just, you know, using the common tongue. The Latinate. Not the Latinate, the sensate. I don't know what they call it.
Sensa.
Huh? Say something. Yeah, the say something. Say that. Mary Adams, Savannah, Georgia. Mr. Feldman, I hope you believe you have a responsibility to speak English correctly. I don't believe that. I really don't feel I have I think I have a lot of responsibilities. It never occurred to me that speaking English correctly was one of them. And just forgot today, quote, got along good, I said, apparently. Got along good, as in we got along good. Also, you may wish to remember the difference between feeling bad and feeling badly. I've done both. The feeling I get is pretty much the same. You can quibble over whether it's an adverb or whatever it is. Feeling bad is when your hand doesn't work good. And I know, it's just, here I'm feeling badly. Bad. Feeling bad. Here I'm feeling badly. All right. Thank you. Sincerely, M. Adams. Okay, thank you, M. Here's another one from another Mary. So yeah, another Mary. Mary Ford, though, this time from Harrisburg, Illinois. A few weeks ago, you asked a contestant on your quiz to spell the word paraphernalia. You pronounced it in such a way that you prompted her to spell it paraphernalia. Then you said she was correct. She was. She talked just like I did at that point. How was that not correct? I think you know better. And I bet you have had a lot of feedback, some, on this. But I went home and I hid all my paraphernalia, I'll tell you that. A week later, someone on your show said he was waiting for the next century, and you said 3,000. The next century will start in 2101, not 3,000. You're thinking of the next millennium. Are these indications of senior moments? Actually, my junior moments were much the same. I could use more exactitude and so forth. I used to teach grammar in high school. It gives you some idea what the problem is. And I feel badly about it. No. Okay. Anyone else want to just tear me a new one? Let's do it. Yeah. I already got 1,000 at home. So didn't need another one. Dear Mr. Feldman, yes, the enclosed article is now 10 years old. It's been sitting in the stacks in my basement for a decade. It is time it found its way to your desk. Perhaps you'll dispose of it sooner. I'm unsure this qualifies for thanks for the memo portion of your show, but I found the public notice to be government at its finest. Love the show. Dave Sabora. I read that as Deborah. That's Dave Sabora and Nina. Okay. A clip from the paper. Board of Review, State of Wisconsin, Waupaca County, Dayton Township. Public notice is hereby given that the Board of Review for the town of Dayton will meet on May 19th, 2003 at 7 p.m. for the purpose to reconvene at a later date. Town clerk. You're right, that is it. Fine. Okay. I had a memo in here. Where's the memo that I had? Oh, here's the memo. Okay. Let's see here. That one? That'll do. Okay. Here's this one. It goes out to everybody. It's a school memo somewhere at a school not far from here. Hello. Today I was on recess duty and noticed that student name was wearing a coat with no other winter gear. I was starting to wonder how he is always the first one at snack and lunch. Well, now I know. He is not putting on his winter gear. Please tell L to go back in the building and get on what he needs if he does not have snow pants, boots, gloves, and a hat tomorrow and in the future. Thanks. Teacher name. And there's a reply to this one. This morning I told student name specifically to put his gear on. Then at lunch he was in the noon room. I'm sure he just grabbed his coat and ran out. I think it's a good idea to make him go back in and put it all back on. The boys that play football typically are not wearing their pants either. I think with this amount of snow and cold, they should all wear their pants and gear.
Snow pants.
Thanks for noticing that, principal's name. Well, there you have it. That's pretty much the whole. Yeah, okay, fine. Or don't do it. If you don't want to do it, I can't make you do that. But it's a nice little way of getting out of this feeling that these things engender.
Well, snow pants, yeah. You know.
Engender is the right word, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think so. And where can they send memos or what have you?
Or clippings. Memos they can send to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos. Or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there. If they do want to send in clippings, they can send them to 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706, care of What Do You Know? Thanks for the memos.
And what about those little grammar corrections? Where should those go?
Well,
should we tell them or should we?
I kind of like them.
It's part of the thing.
It's good. We need to be edumacated. Mm-hmm. They can go to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org.
So the same place as the memos,
yeah, essentially. Pretty much. Or they could tweet them to you. That's also an option.
Oh, yeah, the Twitter thing. How do they do that then?
Well, they would tweet to your Twitter handle, @myfeldman, on the Twitters.
Good.
Yeah.
And so somebody, then you'd have to follow me, though, wouldn't you?
No, you actually, to tweet to you, you do not need to follow you. However, it is highly recommended.
Thank you.
Yeah.
18,000 tweets, and I got only like several dozen followers. Apparently, it's not sinking in.
It's the hashtags, Michael. You need to master the hashtags.
Hashtags, I'm having trouble with hashtags. Yeah. I started doing that now. I don't know if you're on Twitter or anything like that. You put a hashtag, and you put everything, you know, like Grammy butt cracks. Hashtag Grammy butt crack. Hoping to appeal to all the people who thought that was a pretty stupid thing that they were doing there, as far as that situation. But it doesn't do any good. I mean, there is no such place. I mean, does that mean there is such a place as hashtag
heaven?
Grammy butt cracks?
I am not sure about that particular topic, but yeah. I don't. It seems to.
What does that
work.
Mean, the hashtag, when you do that?
Essentially, my understanding is that you're flagging the topic as a kind of topic, so people can join in. You're
so
joining
other people
the discussion.
Would jump
you're joining
into
the butt crack discussion, essentially. You're weighing in.
What more is there
were.
To say? I think it's really it means no singing plumbers. That's all I could think of, and so I said it there, and I'm glad. All the things you would never say in a million years is what Twitter is all about, of course. You know, and you expect other people to relate to it, and they don't. Fresh off the boat, brand new book by Eddie Wong. a memoir. You may know him from TV. Cheap Eats is one thing he did on TV. Fresh Off the Boat is a thing he does online now. He's got the Bun Shop in New York, East 14th Street, I think it is. And he's a man about town, and what a guy. Would you welcome, please, to our show, Eddie Wong, Fresh Off the Boat. Hi, Eddie, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, how are you?
Good, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, did you get hit by the storm there? Did it affect you?
No, I was lucky enough to be in L.A.
Oh, you were? Is that
yeah.
where you are? Is that where you are now?
Yeah, I'm just laying in my hotel room.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Are you doing another, like a Fresh Off the Boat thing in L.A. down there? Or?
Yeah, we got a event out here at Book Soup, and then I'm just hanging with friends and cooking for Chinese New Year.
Yeah, what are you making?
Oh, we're going to do some whole steamed flounder. It's always lucky to have a whole fish. We have lion's head meatballs. We're going to do some Hainan lobster rice.
Yeah.
Going to do some dumplings because dumplings look like gold coins.
Yeah.
All the luckiest Chinese food is what we're making.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
You didn't say Holstein flounder, did you?
Yeah, Holstein flounder, head on. Yeah.
Oh, Holsteamed. I thought you said Holstein because we have cows out here, Holsteins. You know, but God, is there like a thing with a Holstein flounder? That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be
We should try that.
Transitional.
Like, yeah.
In your book here, when I just wrote this thing down in the comment. It says, Asians don't use the oven for anything except holding Jordans.
Yes, that's pretty much it.
Explain and extrapolate.
Well, the thing is, I mean, clearly there are Chinese bakeries that bake things, but growing up, we just never used the oven. We always used the steamer.
Yeah.
Anything that, you know, you needed things to rise or dough, you'd use the steamer. And I had a lot of sneakers, and they fit very well in the oven.
Is that how you got into the whole streetwear business? What was in the oven? You'd go out and sell it?
No, I think I was into the sneakers and streetwear, and then I got into the oven because I needed something to hold it all.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. And it worked one way or another.
Literally, houses I lived in, all my mom did was put her pots and pans in the oven, and then once I didn't have all my mom's pots and pans, I put my sneakers in the oven.
Yeah, I see that. And the book is really great, Fresh Off the Boat. It's kind of an immigrant story, really. It reminds me of something like my father's generation, which for us, our family was like the first generation in America from Europe. And it's sort of like that. It's like an immigrant's tale of going through all these things you have to go through growing up in America if you're different at all.
Where's your family from?
My dad was actually born in Kiev. In the Ukraine,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. My mom was born in Illinois, so you can imagine how that worked. There was a clash right off the bat.
Yeah, I like Ukrainian food, though. Ukrainian food is dope.
Yeah, yeah. What do you like that's Ukrainian?
I like the stuffed cabbage.
Yeah.
Big kielbasa fan, you know.
Are you? Yeah. The book is great, but I also got the alternate cover here. Was this why we got a smell like sesame oil? Is this the rejected cover, or what was that?
Yeah, they, you know, Random House wanted to put up some JPEGs with little funny quotes from the book and things like that. So I just came up with sayings that kind of complaining about my upbringing and things. Like my favorite one is a photo of my entire family with my grandparents, and it says, "These ancestors never bought me Jordans."
And this one is the sesame oil one.
Yeah, and sesame oil does always stand out. That's kind of like the oil other cultures don't use.
Yeah.
And when you cook with sesame oil, it's definitely very noticeable to non-Chinese people. So.
Yeah, but you do more soy oil, don't you?
Oh, at the restaurant, yes, soy oil. But when I'm cooking at home, there's a lot of dishes I use the sesame oil for.
Yeah.
And, I lather myself in it. I get the loofah and I do the whole sesame oil thing.
How does that work for you?
Oh, it's great. It's great. It attracts all types of strange women.
Yeah. Your dad was a restaurateur as well.
Yeah.
Down in Orlando? Did he have?
Yeah, I like to think of him more as a bootlegger than a restaurateur.
A bootlegger?
Yes.
What was he bootlegging?
Restaurants. You know, he started off working at Steak and Ale and L&N Seafood, and then was like, "Hey, I could open Atlantic Bay Seafood," and he kind of had a lot of similarities to L&N, and then he opened Cattleman's, that was very similar to Steak and Ale.
Yeah.
And then he went a little too far, and there was a Outback Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. And Outback Steakhouse, the original, was in Buena Vista in Orlando, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there was like a rule where in a mile or 2 mile radius, you couldn't have another Outback Steakhouse. So my dad opened an Aussie Steakhouse.
Oh.
And the kangaroo faced the other way.
Oh. You had to work in those places, though, too, didn't you?
Yes, I did work at Aussie Steakhouse, and they had very funny, Captain Kangaroo outfits and things. It was nice.
How was it working for your dad?
It was fun. I love my dad. My dad, I get a lot of my sense of humor from my dad. The guy was very no holds bar. He didn't allow people back in Taiwan to tell him what a Taiwanese guy was supposed to be like. He came to America, and he really soaked it up. And of all of our family, my dad loves America the most. He thought it was a very, very interesting place to come. And my dad is a very fun-loving guy. In the book, he's not so loving at times.
Yeah.
But you know, nowadays my dad is one of my good friends, and we talk and we get along really well.
Yeah. At some point, he apologized to you for bringing you to America, didn't he?
Yes, he did. After he read the book, he was very sad, actually. And he said to me, you know, I'm sorry. And I thought he meant being sorry for kicking my ass all those years. but no, he said, I'm sorry I brought our family to America. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I said, Dad, what are you talking about? He goes, you should raise your children in China. And I was like, they'll have asthma by the time they're like 2 months old.
Yeah, really?
And I said, I don't get it, Dad. Like, we've grown up here. We made it. We kind of won. I mean, like, I have a book.
Yeah.
I have a restaurant. It's not so bad. And I said, you know, it was a very, very hard growing up. And he says, I know that reading the book, I didn't realize how bad it was. Yeah, I didn't know how much.
Whoops. You can't say that on the radio. We'll return to more fun in just a moment.
It was bad, Dad. And I said,
we got that.
We went through it.
Yeah.
We went through it and we persevered. And now that we've won, I don't want to leave. I am an American.
Yeah.
And he finally gets it now, but it was so shocking to him, all the things I went through, because I never talked to him about it.
Yeah. He comes off as a very interesting guy, aside from the expletive there. but you said your dad loved the Bee Gees and basket and Len Bias, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was the biggest Len Bias fan, because when he went to college in America, he was at University of Maryland College Park, and Len Bias died while he was there.
Yeah, and that sort of, it was like the most depressing thing in his life or something, was the death of Len Bias, because he could have had it all. He could have been Jordan.
Yeah, my dad absolutely loved basketball, absolutely worshipped Len Bias, and it just broke his heart, and he always, always talked about it.
Yeah. Was there pressure on you to try to do basketball? I mean, to go in the sports?
No, he took one look at me. He's like, this guy stinks at basketball.
Yeah.
No, there was never pressure. He kind of just put pressure on me to not embarrass him while playing.
Yeah, but you're a great fan. You're a great Knicks fan. And, of course, Linsanity is almost at your behest. I think you started Linsanity one-handedly.
I tried.
Yeah.
I tried to exponentially increase the effect of Linsanity.
Yeah.
But no, man, I'm a huge Knicks fan. I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I love basketball in general. Every city I go to, I try to play basketball when I'm there. I live by a basketball court in New York, and that's kind of what I look for when picking an apartment.
Yeah. Got to be one nearby, huh?
No, definitely.
Now,
I mean, even though I stink, I just like to go out and shoot and run around. It's a very... I don't know what it is. I just love the game.
I bet you have good ball control.
Pause.
I wouldn't take it from you. No, I haven't. You went to yeshiva for law school, right?
Yes.
That's not from the stereotype, is it? Like the Jewish lawyer stereotype thing? Or?
No, you know, it was funny because I was applying to schools, and I remember in Orlando reading, oh, this is a yeshiva school. And I was like, what's a yeshiva school? So I Wikipedia'd and Googled. And I was like, oh, a Jewish school. And I was like, well, that's cool. Like, Georgetown is a Jesuit school, you know? And then I didn't really realize what I was getting into. And I went to visit, and I was like, man, this really is like going to school at a synagogue.
Yeah.
And pretty much, I'd say, like, I don't know what the actual numbers are, but large proportion of the students are Jewish, a lot of them are Orthodox, but I liked it because I had never been in a situation like that.
No.
And, you know, to be honest, that was one of the most interesting things about going to Cardozo was that it was a Chinese kid at a yeshiva from Orlando, Florida. So it was a very, very cool experience for me. And I got to learn a lot about Jewish culture. And it's just fun. A lot of those kids, some of them are still my best friends.
Yeah. Any cooking tips? How to make a brisket, how to do a brisket, sear a brisket.
A lot of pickling and curing tips, you know. I imagine if I went to an Irish law school, it would be a lot of boiling tips.
But, you know, what was your specialty in law? I know you worked for
a firm. I was very interested in constitutional law. I was interested in criminal law. And while I was at Cardozo, I got picked to work at the Innocence Project. So I did a year at the Innocence Project. It was very, very fulfilling.
And yeah,
I was interested in doing IP, so I took a lot of IP courses, but I won this minority fellowship and they placed me at a firm where I did corporate law, and I only lasted 6 months. It wasn't for me.
Yeah. Well, why law school in the first place? Did you, was it something that on your list? I know it wasn't on your list because I copied that down somewhere.
Right? Yeah.
Things you wanted
no,
to do. Stand up and...
Yeah. Well, in the book, you know, like, as you know, but the listeners don't, I got a felony when I was in college, my second year, and I just remember being on felony probation, and everywhere I applied for a job after college, even though I rehabilitated myself after I got in trouble, you know, I was a good kid. I won the English award at my college. I also won the Zora Neale Hurston Award for improving racial relations in my community, but everywhere I applied for jobs, there was that box to check that said, you know, felony probation or felony conviction. And I said to myself, I want to do something that is like another box I can check, but it's a positive thing. And I felt like having a law degree, having a JD was one of those things that, like a felony probation, was a positive stigma. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. But probably not your goal in life to be a lawyer.
No, I never wanted to really be an attorney.
The day
that I got there, I was already trying to figure a way out.
Yeah. It's funny because like every lawyer wants to do stand-up. And you sort of changed that around a little bit. You went from stand-up to law, or was it the other way around?
Oh, no, I was a lawyer that ended up doing stand-up.
Yeah, a lot of them really want to think they're comics, you know. They love their closing arguments more than anything. And the stand-up, I mean, how did that work? That was pretty cool to be able to do stand-up.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome, and that's the thing is that in my life I've had so many experiences, and people like to think in linear ways, like, oh, you know, I went to law school, I'm going to be a lawyer. I was always of the type to be, you know what, I go to law school. It's a lot of money, but maybe I won't become a lawyer, but I know I'll use these skills. And I did stand up, and I was pretty good. I thought I was pretty good. Everyone that met me was like, for a first time out, you're really good. But I knew I wasn't going to become, like, after the first few months doing it, I was like, I could spend the next 9 years of my life, and one day I'll be on Comedy Central, or I could kind of take this experience, take these skills, and go do something else interesting. And I went into cooking.
Yeah. There's even a reason behind that, right? I mean, it wasn't just for the love of cooking or love or being a chef, right? Or even opening a restaurant.
Yeah. I think that's one of the interesting things about my story is I try to dispel this idea that's like, you know, like, this was the only thing I could do. This is the only thing I loved. Like, I love a lot of things in life, and I'm one of those people that wants to try everything and experience and soak up as much as I can. I was doing stand-up at the time, and things were going well, and a manager started helping me from the club because he saw some potential, and he said, you always bring chicken wings and fried rice or dumplings before the show. Why don't you try to go get, like, appearances on some food shows? And so I went on Craigslist, found a food show, got cast for it. And when I went, they said, look, you're funny, but your food is really good. We have 14,000 applicants for every episode, and you really, really did it. So I was encouraged. I met these, like, Food Network, the chefs that worked at the show. And they said, really, like, go pursue it. Go try to do this. And that's what I ended up doing. And as much as I dislike Guy Fieri, he was one of the ones. I was like, you got the chops to do this. Go do it.
How can you dislike Guy Fieri?
Yeah, and I was like, you look like a professor. I'm going to take this advice.
Yeah.
Thank you, doctor.
The only thing I see wrong with Guy is that he eats all that stuff. You know, and he's put on about 100 pounds.
In a very strange way.
Yeah. You stand in the kitchen there and you actually eat the stuff right out of the pot, you know, with your fingers. I mean, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have an amazing nose. A lot of people think, you know, cooking is about taste, but I think that's something to do with nose because I saw you walk into a ship's galley where they were, but it was like a yacht or something like that. And they're making all these dishes and stuff. And you were just smelling the air, and you could tell what the guy was cooking, what was in the pot.
Yeah, no, I definitely have a very sharp sense of smell. And then I'm one of those cooks. I try to teach my cooks at Bauhaus to cook with sight as well.
Yeah.
Cooking with sight, you can always tell by just looking at texture and looking at color and looking at the way things are forming. A lot of people go just off of taste. And I say, you know what, use your nose, use your eyes, use your touch, use everything, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's something that everyone always just goes by the tasting spoon, but I think it's very important to use sight and smell.
Yeah. And who was that? Is it David Chang?
Mm-hmm.
And you started to have a bone to pick with him as well, not to use any cooking metaphors. I don't think that is one.
Yeah, no, you know, I don't really have anything big. It's all in the book, in the last chapter, is that I just think that there's a lot of instances in this country where we hail these chefs and we worship these chefs. And, oh, my God, he invented this thing. And a lot of the times they're items that are cribbed from other cultures. Mm-hmm. And he's probably, most famous American chef today. And when he came out, the thing that made him very, very popular, very, very famous was the pork bun. But when I had it and I saw it, you know, I was like, this is good, but I don't think people realize this guy didn't invent this dish. This is a dish that's been cooked and served in Taiwan or Shanghai for 50, 60 years. And he's also doing it in a very, I'd say, the original is braised. I thought his version was a little bit lazy. It's just roasted, and then he slaps hoisin sauce on it.
Yeah.
So I decided to open Bauhaus to kind of educate people about Taiwanese food and make a statement about the people where these cultures are being taken from, the people who brought these cultures to the world. We have a say in this, and we don't want our food bastardized. And mm-hmm. I think that was probably one of the biggest sentiments behind opening Bauhaus, was that I wanted to take a stand for the cultures where these things come from.
Yeah. Now, you're not saying you have to be of a culture to cook their food.
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. There's a lot of restaurants I really like where it's an American cooking food from Thailand or food from Japan. And the thing is that you just show the respect and let people know where it's from and educate people about it.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew Carmelini, who I was on a MSNBC with last week, he has kimchi on his menu at Locanda Verde, which is a very home-style Italian restaurant. But he credits the Korean cook that he learned it from. And I just think that's cool, because we should be past imperialism at this point. And I really just like the credit being given and the sharing of culture. Sharing of culture is beautiful. Taking of culture is not.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about these other things? Are you a locavore or slow food guy? Or, I mean, where do you stand on some of these movements?
The thing that I think is funny is that I think that that should be expected and that should be the standard. I don't think that it should be a gimmick at restaurants where charging people more for banging them over the head. And I don't think that is like, I don't think it could be the foundation of a restaurant, because it's something that should be the foundation of our society.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that should be standard across the board.
Yeah. And slow food, it's usually slow in coming from my experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that's what they named it for.
Yeah. I mean, I've even taken meetings with, city officials about trying to build rooftop gardens in Chinatown, because right now it's actually impossible to find some of the Asian ingredients that we use, organic and locally sourced. It's just not being grown.
Sure.
So I've actually reached out to city officials to try to build rooftop gardens in Chinatown so that people can be supplied with these things locally sourced.
Yeah. Probably aren't that many organic farmers in Manhattan.
Probably not.
No.
A lot of them come from outside, but when you're doing Asian produce, it's very difficult, and I want to try to work on that.
Yeah. And what about, I mean, your restaurant is what I like what you said about it was it was mainly a place where people could come and hang out, and then there was food.
Mm-hmm.
It the food brought them there, perhaps, but more or less it was a place where people could hang out, because you said growing up it was very important for you to have a place where everybody could just come and sit around and eat or whatever and hang.
Yeah, for young people, a lot of times you want to eat and you want to have fun with your friends, but you always feel unwelcome in places. People will say, hey, can you tone it down? Can you not say that thing? There's dress codes. They're not as bad now in New York, but even when I go to other cities, there's dress codes like wear hard bottom shoes and things like that. So I wanted to create a place where anyone would feel welcome except middle-aged people. I wanted to kind of reverse the trend of restaurants, and I wanted to serve young people.
Yeah.
So hipsters, that's what we did.
Can hipsters feel comfortable there?
Very.
Yeah.
And a lot of weirdos. It's weirdos feel comfortable at Bauhaus. And the thing is that I drew people in with the food. I knew my food was great. I knew I made the best pork bun in New York City. I still believe that. And but I wanted them to come in for the food and then realize that the experience and culture of eating is beyond the plate. Mm. The context is very important. The company is very important. And the kind of the message, what you're trying to say through your restaurant and through your creativity is of the utmost importance.
You know, I love this story about the green bean casserole and your mom. Could you just tell that little anecdote? No, that was a rather an amazing story, I think.
Thanks. Yeah, the green bean casserole. Rest in peace, Mrs. Nielsen. She was my neighbor for about 5 or 6 years when I was growing up, and I actually had no idea how to do Thanksgiving. My family, we would eat Chinese food. We'd get sushi or something. We had no idea how to do Thanksgiving. We knew you were supposed to have a turkey, but none of us really knew how to make the turkey. So I went over to Warren's house, who was my best friend, and his mom, Warren Nielsen. I went over, and I had Thanksgiving at his house proper for the first time in my life when I was about 14. And I said, this is beautiful. I love this holiday. Like, we have Chinese New Year, and it's kind of similar to this in that there's iconic and lucky and symbolic foods you have.
Sure.
But experiencing Thanksgiving, I just said, man, I want my parents to experience this too. And that was my thing, even as anything I did. Anytime I experienced something that I felt was very quintessentially American, I didn't want the rest of my family to be left out. I was like, man, they should share in this too. Maybe they'll understand this country more through this like little thing. And I took home the green bean casserole from Warren's Thanksgiving, and I gave it to my mom. And remember, she was sitting at the kitchen table just watching TV. She wouldn't eat it. I said, Mom, try it. She goes, no, I don't want to try it. Because she really just didn't like American food for the most part. I said, Mom, do me a favor. It's Thanksgiving. Just try. She goes, fine. I tried the Thanksgiving. And she tried it, and she took a bite. And her eyes literally lit up. And it's still probably her favorite American dish. She asks for it every year when there's Thanksgiving. Yeah.
The green bean casserole.
Green bean casserole. And it's, that's the funny thing about culture. You know, Warren would come over to my house, and the one thing he noticed and the one thing he really liked was dried pork song. And he would put it on bread. He'd put it on rice. He'd eat it. He'd buy bottles of it himself. But it's so interesting to me when someone from another culture comes into yours, and you, I like to see what it is that draws them.
Yeah, that was his green bean casserole.
His green bean casserole was the pork floss, and my mom's was the green. It's just so funny.
It is. It's
not what you'd expect.
It's great, and it's touching as well.
Yeah, and you know, I guess to hang on that 1 second is that I hope that people, immigrants and people who are in the margins understand, don't try to think so much about what it is other people will like, because you have no idea. Just if you be yourself and you kind of share your culture and share yourself with other people, you'll never know what it is that they connect with.
Yeah. Well, it's great. And the book is great reading, and watching you on TV is always a treat no matter what you're doing.
Thank you.
Are you still doing the Food Channel things at all? Or
I'm actually, I'm not on the Cooking Channel.
Channel.
I was not able to be as uncensored and free as I wanted to be, so we left the Cooking Channel, and I'm on Vice now, and I love my Vice show.
You got a little more latitude there. I saw you were shooting bunnies in Oakland or something.
Yeah, you know, what we did was we wanted the first episode, because it is a food show, we wanted to make a statement. If you're going to watch a food show, if you're going to consume food, you better be aware of slaughter.
Yeah.
So we went to a place where people raised rabbits for slaughter, and we filmed the entire thing so people could watch, because I didn't want people to be disconnected from that.
Yeah, but you know, in Oakland, they shoot bunnies, they shoot back.
True story. True. If there was a place to go hunt bunnies, it was not Oakland. Those were tough bunnies.
Thanks, Eddie. Great talking with you. Eddie Wong, Fresh Thank Off you. The Boat, the memoir. Here's the book. Here's the alternate cover. Got the whole deal here. All right, then.
He's really cool.
He's great.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I love his show. The one thing that he was doing, that Cheap Eats thing, they'd give him like $20, and he was in Manhattan here, and he'd have to take this girl out on a date and eat and everything on $20 or something like that. And he found the places.
Yeah.
It was really rather amazing. He seems to know all those places to go. So.
Yeah, cool.
That was cool. All right, then.
You make a pretty decent green bean casserole there, Mr. Baldwin.
I know. It's pretty standard, though. I mean, you know, not much. There's a lot of room for error in the green bean casserole.
You ever tried any, given it to any
Durkees,
Asian?
It's either Durkees or the other kind, as far as, the onions. You got to get the Durkees, and you're all right.
You've probably given that to some of your Chinese friends, right?
I don't know if that's ever come up. What are you going to play for us here?
It's a tune called Charade.
Sounds good.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, I don't know. He had to be here, those of you at home. Jimmy Kovac, yes, Kovacic, I'm sorry. I didn't see the other thing on the end there. How are you? Pretty good?
Yep.
Good. So, yeah, stand up. How are you?
I'm good.
So what are you, a soccer player? Or?
I run cross country and track.
Yep. What events do you run in? Or is that all one event, cross country?
Mile, 2 mile. Yeah.
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah. I'm a high school student here. Where you go to school?
McFarland.
Okay. What's the best way for me to ask Caitlin Summers to prom? Okay. I would say, on the radio would be a great way because that'd be impressive. But odds are she doesn't listen to this show, right?
I figured I'd be playing it safe since I'm probably the only person in my school who listens to the show.
So we can't get at her that way. What else? Locker decoration thing?
Didn't really have anything in mind, really. Just kind of winging it.
It's kind of lame, actually, locker decoration. Or should she take a car to school? You can soap her car. No, not soap it, but decorate her car with stuff. And any possibility of that?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
You could ask her. You could go up to her and ask her. That's kind of a... I know that's traumatic.
More straightforward, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe her parents listen to the show.
Yeah. I could kind of...
That's probably not the good way to go through the parents. So anyway, parents, to relay the message that Jimmy would like to go to prom with you or something. I would just go up and, heck, she's going to say yes. You know that.
Yeah. Man.
All right, I know. I remember. Holy cow. Tough one. That's a tough one.
I'm not sure you gave the best possible answer.
What?
I'm not sure you gave the best possible answer to that one.
Well, what should I say?
I think do something a little bit dramatic. I don't know. That's not typical.
Skywriting.
No.
I don't think it's the elaborate. If she's going to go with him, she's going to go with him, Yeah.
Hey, Caitlin,
she's going to go with you, man. Make it creative somehow.
Jimmy's a great kid. You can see that. She's a fool. She doesn't go with him. As long as I'm Don't be a fool, Caitlin. I just turned 30 last Friday. Is it really all downhill from here? Oh, it was downhill before that. As I reckon. I'd say it's downhill from about 18, pretty much, as far as I can recall. I don't know. I've been so far down the hill now, I can't remember what it looks like. Up there, but Scott, 30 is nothing, though. Don't worry about it. Where's Scott? You look good for 30, Scott. Yeah. Come back in 10, 20 years, and we'll talk about it again. You're fine. Don't worry about it. Easy one. I'm ice fishing after the show. Should I use a rat finky or a marmuska? Colin? Okay, well, I have to...
We better call Lynn Blinker.
Well, I know, Lynn Blinker, well, I don't know if you would know the difference between a rat finky. Let's... You know anything about a rat finky?
Not a thing.
No?
No rat finkies? Get you to stand up here, Colin. Just hunt, stand up but hunch over, all right? Are you fully up yet?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Rat Finky, Marmuska, let's talk about pros and cons.
Well, I think the Marmushkas have been really good this year.
Marmushka is what I meant to say.
Yeah. My brother went out last weekend and he said that was the hot ticket, but I don't know.
The Marmushka?
Yeah, I don't always trust him.
No. Because he might have been telling you one thing because he wants to get all the fish and stuff.
I wasn't there, so I couldn't really verify any of the fish.
Yeah. Have you used a rat finky in this situation?
Yeah, previously on bluegills, it works out pretty good. Yeah. More of a summertime jig, though.
Yeah, it is more of a summertime jig, the rat finky. So, Marmushka, they seem to like it in the colder water.
Yeah, if you get them out of the heavy materials, they drop real fast, and then they catch them a little quicker.
Well, could you put in one Marmushka and one rat finky, and then see what, you know...
It would be a good scientific experiment to do that.
Not for fishing so much.
You got nothing better to do.
All right. Or have you got a third aid? You just shoot them.
Yeah.
I mess around with them. You see in the whole area, shoot them, you know.
Then you got extra holes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm glad we had this talk.
Thanks.
How many say Marmushka? Let's vote. How many say you should go with the Marmushka? Applaud. 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 How many say Rat Finky? Marmushka. Marmushka is general thinking here. Well, of course, your brother could be lying, though. We know that's a fact. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz because you didn't get a chance last time. Now here's your chance. You got to be excited about that. You're thinking you want to do it? Are you? Only you are thinking that you want to do it. What happened to the spirit of volunteerism? Hi, how are you? What?
God.
Don't mention the number.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
And you are?
I say well.
Well, yes. Fine. You feel well or you feel good?
I'm feeling really good.
Welly? No, there's no welly. I just say well as an adverb. I have no idea. And you are?
Peg Thompson.
Hey, Peg.
Yes.
Big birthday, huh?
Yes.
Well,
actually, there's an 18-year-old on the second, and my husband was the fourth.
The fourth, yeah?
Yeah.
So you're all... Bottled up there.
Yeah, I had a birthday cake the past week.
Peggy, you want to play this quiz, I guess, but can you give me a reason?
Well, I told my husband that you're my celebrity crush.
Whoa! Well, let's get away from him then. Come on. Whoa. Okay. Your booster seat. All right. That's cool you bring it with you everywhere.
Got to make sure I embarrass my kids.
Yeah. So what you up to these days, Peg?
Not too much, really.
Yeah.
Just a lot of celebrating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Working around the house or?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm suffering from a back injury, so I'm just kind of.
Yeah.
So, but devoted to being a mother and the other half to my husband.
Well, you
got
to be devoted to it. Otherwise, there's no reason
that's
for doing
right.
it. You know. I think that applies to father too, especially mothers.
Yes,
the buck stops with you.
It's a big job.
Yeah. How's the winter been treating you? Pretty good?
Yes, I actually enjoy the snow. It's very pretty, especially the last day. Yeah.
What's the matter with you, Peg?
I don't know. I enjoy looking at it. I don't like being out in it, I guess.
Celebrity, you're not like a stalker type as far as a celebrity crush goes. I couldn't help it.
I haven't had
one in years.
I don't want to admit to too much.
I had one, but she passed away.
Oh.
Are there others on the list besides?
No, just you. No, just you.
Really?
Just you, yes, for years. Last time we were here was about 14 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And our oldest daughter was slumped. She didn't want you to talk to her, and she'd slumped so far in her seat, she almost was on the ground. But you pulled her up at the end and had her throw the dart.
I seem to remember that. I get a lot of schlumps. Yes. We call them schlumps in my
Well, and then she kept the slippers you gave her. For the Freudian slippers.
The Freudian slippers
that she signed. She's kept them still. So.
Wow, that's very good. All right, so someone out there plays along with you, Peg. I guess
great.
You know the whole song and dance
yes.
here.
Yes.
And how do they do that?
They pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. And you ask them a qualifying question.
Here's a question, Weather Channel winter storm names. Actually, this was mentioned earlier. Nemo, the one that just came through. Orko is the next one. Then I want to know who's after Orko in the winter storm names, according to the Weather Channel. If you know, give us a call here. And if you've been listening at all, you probably will know this. Who's after Orko in the Weather Channel names? And let's go right now to Jack is in Belton, Missouri.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, Jack. How are you doing?
Okay.
Did you get hit by a storm there?
No, sir, we didn't.
Okay. Then you don't have to call it anything, I guess.
I know.
That's cool. Yeah. Cool. You know who's coming after Orko?
No idea, but I'll say Pluto.
Close. Close. If Pluto were a philosopher.
Pluto were a philosopher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who would he be?
He would be Plato.
Yes, that's it! Holy cow! I hope that wasn't too big a clue. Oh! Sorry, I got a little excited in the microphone there. When that happened. Jack, congratulations. You qualified.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right.
Did that. You did it. All right, we have various categories, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, next.
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Oh, bye, Jack. Jack, this is Peg. Did you guys meet? No.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You guys are partners in all these things.
Fantastic.
What would you like, Jack? What category?
What category?
Yeah.
School.
School it is. Here it is. Draw a Venn diagram.
Okay.
You can draw it in the air if you want. Did you do it?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. What do they look like?
It has two circles, two intersecting circles.
Okay.
They represent sets.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. I knew you could do it, Jack. That's why I didn't know how to ask
you.
And Peg did it, too, here on our side, so that's...
That is one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's
and
left there?
And the categories remaining are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
All right, Peg, what do you have?
Odds and ends.
So did you celebrate then, the 50?
This is it.
This is it?
Yeah, we're going to a hockey game tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's it? Just a celebrity crush and that's it?
It's a lot for me, you know. I tire easily when I'm 50, you know.
I could go forever. Isn't that funny? I think. I don't know. I haven't gone forever. True or false? Although much maligned, cockroaches are fastidious in terms of their personal hygiene and grooming. Cockroaches. True or false? Fastidious.
I'll say true.
True. He says true.
I'd always see them in the sink in my college apartment. So
scrubbing under their arms?
Probably scrubbing, cleaning.
Their little wings?
Sure, why not? Yeah.
Yes, they are. They're fastidious.
All right.
What a bad rap. There you go. They have spotless antennae.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Average cockroach, that is. That's what they're doing in there is they're grooming one another. Yes.
And the categories that remain are current events, people, places, or science.
Okay. Jack, back to you.
Let's go with science, please.
Science it is. All right. Besides size, the most distinguishing feature between hobbits and humans, the different features between hobbits and humans, is one of the following. Is it the tail, the pointy ears, or the wrist bones? Between a hobbit... Structurally, hobbits, and
I think
humans.
It is.
It's actually,
ears.
A found.
Isn't it the ears?
Hobbit bones.
Yeah, actually, it's been a long time. Yeah.
So they exist. They did.
Ears sound good to me.
You're saying what?
Ears also.
No, ears.
I think so. No.
It's the wrist bones.
Oh, they found that
they're exactly like us, smaller, except for the wrist bones. So they're, if you're unsure if someone is a hobbit,
I look didn't at know their that wrist. They were really real things.
Yes, they found. Hobbits.
In under a car park in Britain?
Just give the score. Would you,
sorry, that's yes. Two right, one wrong.
All right, what's left there, Sarah?
Current events, people, or places.
All right.
Current events.
Current events right out of the news. Let's see if it is. Yes, it is. So, can women wear pants in Paris, or can't they?
I think now they can, right? No? Is it? I thought I heard something. No?
Pants on or off? For women. We're not talking about the sunny side of France. We know how it goes down there. We're talking about Paris.
Okay, I'll go along with Joy.
You're saying yes, they can now wear pants and officially wear pants legally in Paris?
As long as they don't have a butt crack showing. Is
that's CBS. That's not Paris.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, that's right. They can. They changed the law after all these years.
They've won the quiz. And
right,
Peg,
yes,
that means your Valentine's Day will be extra special this year with a bottle of strawberry rhubarb wine from Maple River Winery, handcrafted in historic Castleton, North Dakota. Jack, one American in three says lack of intimacy is the reason for lack of intimacy. Is but one gem of erudition you'll find in What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. And both of you can never go wrong with Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, Book of Love, from the Bathroom Readers Institute and Portable Press. That comes along with the What Do You Know party game, including the Hearts and Flowers Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations,
you
both.
You get to take me home.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy birthday. Thanks for playing the quiz. Hang on there, Jack. Make sure you get that.
Okay, good.
All right. Once again, two guys on their instruments.
What Do You Know? Is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich, producer, with assistance from Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
Thank you all for coming. Appreciate your being here. Join us if you can. Talk to you again next week. From Hartford, the Shower Center, Hartford, Wisconsin.
PRI, Public Radio International.